You know, when we come to worship on Sunday morning, there's a few things we have to keep in mind. Worship is not about entertainment. Worship is not about us. Worship is about the Lord. And worship is about exalting the Lord and giving Him praise and honor. And I was thinking about that this past week when I was thinking about what worship actually is. See, many times we say, I can't worship because I don't know the songs, or I can't worship because it's not my type of music. Oh, really? We worship because it's of the Lord. And all that we say and all that we do is for Him. And so I want you to do, before we get started today, I want you to pause and I want you to think. And I want you to think about something you want to praise the Lord about today. You know, my family, I had my kids with me for a month and a half before they go to Korea. In my life, you know, the fact that that accident we had was not significant. Praise the Lord and give Him thanks. The fact that we're here this morning and we have breath, we praise the Lord, we give thanks. Marriage is the same way. We had a marriage in the church yesterday. We had Corbin Hellworth and Haley Abramovich. Can't say that. Got married, and it was a fun wedding, and it was kind of a funny wedding because he's like 9'10" and she's 3'2". No, not really, but I did tell him when they had their first dance, her nose is going to be in his belly button. But you look at that, and that's what God has done. And what we sit back and say, I'm not going to worship, really. Go, if you will, into our call to worship today and hear what the word of the psalmist says. He says, the earth is the Lord's and all that's in it, the world and those who live in it. For He has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Next slide. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Next slide. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory.
Good morning. I'll share with you second book of Ephesians, second chapter out of Ephesians, starting at the first verse, reading through the 10th. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just praise You, Lord God, for this wonderful day. We praise You for the freedom to be able to come out and worship You. We praise You for the wonderful weather. We praise You for all the many blessings You bestow upon us. And we praise You most of all for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through Him, dear Lord God, that we come to You as men and women who fall short of the mark. We don't read Your Bible as much as we should. We don't pray as much as we should. We say things we shouldn't. We read and watch things we shouldn't. And we just confess our shortcomings to You, dear Lord God, and pray that if it be Your merciful will, that You'd cleanse us and make us pure again. Forgive us of our sins. And we will forgive those who have sinned and trespassed against us. We thank You for Your love, and we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for always being present with us. We thank You for always being in control. We thank You for the many blessings You bestow upon us. And we come to You, dear Lord God, and we just pray that You be with the service today, dear Lord God, and that You allow us all to calm our hearts and minds and prepare to truly worship you, dear Lord God, to shut out the outside world and electronic devices and to truly focus on you, dear Lord God. We pray that you be with Pastor Kyle as he brings forth the message this morning, that you allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth through your word what we need to learn today, dear Lord God. We pray that you allow us to take it to our hearts and minds and apply it to our life, to use it to witness to our fellow men and friends and family, that you allow us to be a fit bride for you, dear Lord Jesus, that you allow us to be the church that you called us to be, that you allow us, each and every one of us, to take an opportunity through our days, through our weeks, dear Lord God, to share your love with people we come into contact with, that you allow the outside world to see Jesus in us. We pray, dear Lord God, that you be with those of our number who are sick or ailing or shut in or traveling this week, dear Lord God. We think of the Stockler family, dear Lord God, and the loss of Jane, and just pray that you would continue to be with them and guide and direct them. Put your comforting hand upon them, dear Lord God. We pray that you be with all the young men and women around the world standing their post today, dear Lord God, that you be with them and guide and direct them and keep them safe. Pray that you allow them to come back home safely to their friends and families and loved ones, dear Lord God. And we think of a day that we will no longer have to send troops around the world to keep peace. We think of that day that the world will be at peace. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if there be anybody here today struggling with anything or indifferent, not knowing you, dear Lord Jesus, that you would allow them to make themselves right before they leave here today. That if they're struggling with something, that they'll grab one of the elders or Pastor Darwin or Pastor Kyle, and that you allow them to talk about that, dear Lord God, and that honor and glory be brought to your name through it. We just pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
and didn't we have wonderful worship today? Didn't they do a good job? And just only in Mercer County. I came to church this morning. There was a pony right out here. Anybody knows who it was? You saw it too? No, man, there was a pony sitting right there. Last week we had cows out, so that's pretty close. Anyway, I asked today, as many of you know, we are in the middle of a series called You Asked For It, where you, the congregation, bring about questions that we answer. And this week was on finances. And Pastor Kyle has a story about how he lined his finances up with what God had intended it to be, and how God has blessed him and helped him in many ways. So I actually asked Pastor Kyle if he would deliver the message today. So Pastor Kyle is going to present God's word to you. I do know we're going to be looking at Malachi chapter 3. So if you want your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Malachi chapter 3. So Pastor Kyle, come on up and share what God has laid upon your heart.
I joked with Pastor Darwin that the reason why he really wanted me to preach is because every pastor loves preaching on money. So that's one of the favorite topics, right? But no, I'm very blessed, and it's amazing how God really affects your life in the ways that he would have you preach. Because I definitely was not good at handling money when I first started life. So one of the things that I think you have to start with everything in life is, what is ours and what is God's? And here's the thing. Everything is God's. And I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's in the book Mere Christianity. And if you've never read this book, I would highly recommend it. But it's this phrase. It says, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving, your limbs from moment to moment, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already. And I love that phrase. I mean, you could summarize this sermon with that. It's amazing to think that when we're going through our lives and the things that we own, the way we spend money, our finances, everything, even if we devoted all of it to God, 100%, it would already have been his. We're doing nothing that he does that's outside of his hands. When we look at the idea of ownership and we're looking at these themes, we have to look at the idea of where do these gifts come from. Now, all of us, most of us here, either work a job or going full-time or part-time or stay-at-home moms, and all of these themes are work. They all acquire something in the end. And when we're looking at this idea of ownership and what we receive, we have to look at James. I'm going to use James chapter 1, verse 17 here really quick. And we look at the idea of where it comes from. And it says this: every good and perfect gift is from God above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If we look at that idea, everything comes from him. One of the things is, and I'll tell you, I'm going to tell bits and pieces of me and my wife's story in this, but one of the things is me and my wife got married. I never really got taught how to do finances well. For me, I was always just taught that when you want something, you buy it or you take a loan out for it, and that's enough. If you don't have the money, you just use a credit card, and that's enough. When you're doing all these things. But the problem was our priorities weren't aligned. What I was trying to achieve and what my wife was trying to achieve were not the same. We were totally distracted. We weren't on the same team with money. She would spend a little money here. I'd spend a little money over there. And if you didn't know, eventually that all adds up to multiple hundreds of dollars. And so we weren't on the same team. So that's where we started was, all right, where's our priorities? See, in the United States, and I think in our country, we are so blessed beyond reason that we forget how easy it is for this stuff to go. See, even in this idea of gratefulness, me and my wife had this conversation. Are we really grateful for the things that we have? The things that God has given us right now in this moment? See, we can walk up, and everybody jokes about saline water and how it's from the lake and it's going to kill you, but I can walk up, open my tap, and I have clean water that I can drink. As far as I know, it's clean. And when we're going through, I can drink it. When we're going through, are we grateful for that? I mean, there are countries in this world where the streams where they get their water are filled with trash, that they bathe in the same water that they drink from. And that's something that when you change your mindset of gratefulness, it really makes you view things differently. The fact that I have food in my fridge. See, in our country, we have an instant gratification issue where I have this idea in my head that I don't have to rely on God, but actually that I'm doing it myself. See, if I don't have food in my fridge, I can just go to McDonald's down the road, or I can go to Wendy's, or I can go to any restaurant that I want and have food that moment. I don't have to cook anything. I mean, just this week, I got home at like 8 o'clock, and my wife's like, what's for supper? And I'm like, Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut's what's for supper. There was no thought. It was easy. And see, we have to have this gratefulness of this idea that everything we have comes from God. The fact that I can go up to my fruit bowl that's on my counter and grab an apple out of it is because God has blessed me with it. When you start changing your mindset of the gratefulness of what we have and what it actually is and where it comes from, you'll begin to see your heart change. And that's how it started with me and Rachel. We decided when we were, and I mean, I'll tell you, we were over six figures in consumer debt, which is cars, credit cards, all these things, and we were just sick and tired of it. We were tired of paying payments. I was tired of living week by week and paycheck by paycheck, and it was time for something to change. And so then I started to say, well, where's our priorities? Are we actually grateful for what we have? Where are these things at? When we actually have this idea of ownership and we give that up and say, everything that I have, from the vehicle I drive all the way to the shoes that I wear, are actually gifts from God, you begin to appreciate things a lot more. And maybe there comes a time where we start cutting things out or removing things. And so we're actually going to be, like Pastor said, we're going to be going to Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12 here. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them up. If I'll read it to you here, it says this: from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are a curse and a curse with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke and the devourer for you, so that you will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine and the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So how do we view these things? How do we manage this stuff? And I love this quote, and I think it applies with two things. And it's from James W. Frick, and it says this: don't tell me where your priorities are, show me where you spend your money, and I'll tell you. And I'm a firm believer in that. So what we began to do is look at our budget and look at our money and look at our time and ask the question, how do we spend it? Where does it go? And guess what? I can tell you, our time and our money was not focused on God. Like, it was, you can't argue with facts. I mean, the data was there, it showed. We were not prioritizing God. And so the idea of tithing, the idea of giving, this, all these things were gone. They weren't even in my life. I didn't even think, I mean, you're asking me to give away money that's mine? Well, when you start changing that gratefulness idea and you realize who the actual true owner of your money is or your time that you've been given, you begin to reevaluate how you're using it. See, God's just asking for us to give and trust back. And so you might be asking a little bit here, what has God called us to? How do we sit and wonder how we spend our time and money, and are we actually spending it in places that God wants us to? Our priority on things has to be focused. So when we started talking about this word tithe with it, if you don't know, the word tithe actually means tenth. So God gives us all things, and then he was asking these people to give a tenth back. And some of us may be saying, and I said this when I first started tithing, I was like, I can barely live with what I have now. How am I going to do this? So I actually did kind of the trust part where I was very untrusting that God would provide. And I only gave like 2% starting out, and then I upped it over time, and then we slowly gave more. But when we're tithing, I think we have to look at it differently. And I was looking at it as the wrong mindset. See, tithing isn't just giving money to the church to do things or donating to a fundraiser, things like that. It's actually a tangible way of worship. Think about that. When you give this money back, you are actually tangibly giving back piece of what God has given you and trusting the church to use that to bless others. See, the tithe is about trusting God to know better what to do with it than what we do. See, here's the cool part about tithing. You're actually not supposed to designate your tithe. You're actually supposed to give it up and give it to the church. Just say, hey, here you go. I trust the leadership that's been in place, the people that have prayed over it, they will be using this in a way that will bless the area. And you just freely give it up. You don't designate it for a certain thing, a building, or chairs, or tables, or anything. You just say, here is my tithe. I give this back to you, Lord. And it's a sign of worship. And actually, that's one of the things that I miss. See, I'm a bad tither. I always forgot the checkbook. I always forgot my money. And then my wife would yell at me when I would text her and be like, don't forget the checkbook today. And then she'd be like, really, you forgot it again? And so what I love is online giving. See, I've automated it. In my budget, how I have it set up, the first thing, before I even start calculating my monthly expenses, is my tithe. And then what we donate to other stuff. Those are my first priorities, because those are the things that God has called me to. Then I get to use the other 90%. And what's the interesting part is it changes for everybody. I'm not saying you have to make the leap of faith now, but I would ask you to look at the question of, what is your priorities? How have you set them? Have you actually shown that this is what God's called you to? And like I was saying with the checkbook thing, I think my sinful mind actually forgot it on purpose because I didn't want to do it. And so what I've done now is I actually just use online and I have it automatically take it out. I can't change it. It's locked. It just does it automatically for me. It makes my life really easy. But here's the interesting part. Is that God gives us the gift that if we want to give even more abundantly, we can designate it for a specific purpose, then go beyond our tithe. And it's amazing to see the blessings that come from that. I actually have a friend, he's a business owner. He's been married to him and his wife, I think like 45 years or something around in there. And for all 45 years of their marriage, from the day they got married, they decided they were going to live off 10% and give away 90%. Which is mind-boggling to me that they have done this. And the Lord has blessed them, and they have trusted him, and we've seen things change in their lives. And I'm not saying that they haven't had bad times. They have. They've told me stories about where they didn't eat for like 3 days in a row because that's what they're doing. I mean, they've said this. And it's amazing to see how they just live in faith through that. And it's amazing when we take this leap of faith, how putting that trust in the Lord can really change it. Like I was saying earlier, we live in a country where we have this instant gratification, and we can have anything we want right now, but what if God's actually calling you to wait? See, that's one of the things that when I go through my life, I want things now. And we're actually going to go to Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 through 2 here really quick, and it says this: "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world of and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." Like I've said, everything is owned by God. And when we start changing our mindset on these things, and we see this supported throughout Scripture, and we actually say, this is theirs, this is his, we have to be grateful that he's even given it to us. See, I'm a vehicle guy. I love cars. That's like probably my one obsession. I probably know more people by the vehicles they drive than in their actual names. Rachel always makes fun of me. She's like, who's that guy? I was like, he drives a Ford. It's an F-150. It's got the chrome tips on the back. I know more about his vehicle than I know about him, and she always makes fun of me for that. But one of the things that I always had an issue with is I always wanted the newer one. I always wanted to upgrade. I always wanted to change it. And that's the reason why it put us in the problems we did, is we began to go in this huge mountain of debt that I said, well, now I can't do what God's called me to do because I have all this debt that I have to pay off and all these things, and it caused these issues. See, when we start having this mindset of I always need and I need and I need instead of grateful and happy and contentment, we begin to lose focus. We begin to lose sight of what it is. And actually, one of the things that I found interesting is as me and Rachel, we were married, you know, first year of marriage is always a good time. You figure things out and you're working it out. And one of the things that I always found interesting was the arguments we had on our priorities. See, most of our arguments were centered around money issues. And we did it to ourselves, so I don't know why we're fighting about it. But one of the interesting parts is, I actually looked this up, the number two cause for marriages and for divorce is money. That's one of the biggest issues, and it's skyrocketing rapidly. See, if you're not on the same team with money, if you're not actually working together for a common goal, then you're going to fall. And that's what we did. See, me and Rachel were living pretty tight and lean. And what ended up actually happening was Rachel went on a mission trip and took a week off. And she took a week off. She doesn't get paid that week. Well, we're living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm freaking out in my mind. And I was actually upset with her that she went on this mission trip. Because I'm like, hey, like, we got to pay for this stuff. We shouldn't be spending money, like, not wasting money away. And I can remember, and I remember that being the moment where I was like, all right, things have to change. And so we began to realign and start doing these things. And it's amazing, one of the things that we talked about is being on the same team. And sometimes you need a team captain. It's what I always joke with people in premarital counseling and talking through, is that you have to have somebody, when you still have a person where you're like, hey, I want you to maintain the finances. My wife does not want to touch money. She just doesn't. She doesn't care. She wants me to do it. So I handle it. And that's one of the things that we used to do was we would just make little $5 purchases and we decided we were going to cut them. And we weren't going to make any purchase without talking to one another about it. And now that we're in a much better financial situation, it's kind of interesting because she still will call me and be like, hey, I want to get this like $2 thing for Bentley. Is that okay? I'm like, you don't have to call it. I asked to get a $2 thing. Just get it. It's fine. I don't need that much information. But that's one of the things that's amazing, how being on the same team. But here's the biggest thing, and for married couples, this is something to be a warning about. If you're not on the same team, a way you can tell is if you ever have the discussion of, why did you spend money on this? Then you're not on the same team. Why did you do this? You're not on the same team. And that's something that you have to have in your marriage. You have to look and align and ask the question of, are we actually working for the same goal? Are we working to glorify God in our finances? Are we working to glorify ourselves? That's something to really ask. And that's what I was. I was taking my finances and saying, this is mine, I worked for it, I'll do with it what I want, and it's not about God. And that's something to really evaluate. And it can really destroy your marriage. You may not say it, or your spouse may not say it, but it can. And it's something to really think about. When we're managing our money and it was our job to actually change it, it was our responsibility to look at it and say, all right, it's time to shift. When God provides these things, we become responsible for them and how we treat it. It's easy for us to look at things and say, what do I get for it? What am I going to get out of this? You know, one of the things that's amazing to me actually is, I actually was talking to a couple a while ago for their premarital counseling. We're going to be marrying them here soon. And one of the topics, they had never really talked about money or how to manage it. And one of the things that they had talked about was their goal was they wanted to eventually retire. They want to retire. They want to own this house. And I'm like, well, where are you guys at finances-wise? Like, you working towards that? And neither of them actually even knew how much money they had in their banks, where they were at, what was going on. And it's amazing how much this can actually cause damage. When we're actually going through and having this responsibility, there also comes accountability. See, we are held accountable to one another, to our spouses, but also to God. How we use this will have an effect. And the main way of looking at this is look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were given responsibility. From the beginning of time, God has given out responsibility and then also held the people accountable for it. You know, Adam had the responsibility of name all the animals, take care of the garden, but he was told not to eat from one tree. And just like men and women and how all of us do, he fell short. And he disobeyed, Adam and Eve disobeyed, and they were held accountable for it. Just like Adam and Eve will be held accountable in the same way for what we do in this world. How we manage it, how we prioritize, what we do. With all these things and being accountable, it was the same idea as a child. I mean, for the ones of us that are parents here or grandparents, if you hold your child accountable, and some of you, like my wife, holds me accountable. And when we're going through these things, we wouldn't just give, if we gave our child $1 million and they went and squandered it on things all the time, we would correct them. It's the same thing that God is going to do for us. Just as the people in Malachi stole from God, we could be doing the same thing in our own lives. It says in verse 9, it says, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. That's something to really think and process, is how are we being good stewards of our time and money? See, those are the two things we all have finite resources in. We all don't have enough time, and we all don't have enough money. And let's be honest, all of us think that at one time in our life. And we have to realize that there comes a time in our life where we have to say, I do have enough, and it's just I don't have it prioritized right. I mean, that's one of the things that always amazes me when we're going through these things. It says this and this, we're going to go up to verse 10 and 12 in Malachi here. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And that's the amazing part. And here's the thing. We all love to help people. I think most of us here, if we see people in need, we want to offer them help. That's just, you know, like the horse sitting outside. We see these things happen. I think most of us here would help people take care of things. And one of the things that's amazing to me is that we have to just prioritize it. We just got to make this something that we want to do. When we're going through and looking at this ideas, but also we can't help people if we're not healthy ourselves. You know, if we're not taking care of things in our house, making sure we have the things we need and taking care of our family, stuff will go wrong. But you have to look, is the priority. So God's not calling us to live a life of poverty and fall and, you know, live on the street and just give everything away that we make. It's okay to have nice things and buy things to enjoy them, but being a good steward of those gifts and making sure that you're using them in a way that honors God, that brings glory to God. See, these are all tools. These are all things that can do that. You know, I actually joked Darwin the other week after my car got destroyed by all the hail damage that I have joined him in the era of cars come to me to die because all my cars are now just dented, which I'm fine with. And if you would have known me 6 years ago, I would have got rid of those cars instantly and bought a brand new one because I'm not going to drive a dented car. But my priorities have shifted. See, when me and Rachel decided it was time, enough was enough, that's also when God was calling me into ministry. And I decided, if you didn't know, past ministry is not a lucrative career. Not many people go in it for the money. And one of those things that when you go through, I decided, okay, I've seen too many pastors fall because they can't manage their finances. So I decided, I need to get rid of this debt. I need to get rid of these things that are going to hold me back. That way I can go into the ministry God's called me to be, whatever that is. And so what we did, we paid off all this consumer debt. It took us about 4 years. The only thing that we had left is the mortgage, which is a nice small little guy. And that's where we are, and that's where our goal is to stay. We're really trying to stay. These are our priorities. So there's things I want. I mean, I keep joking with Rachel, I'm going to show up with a jet ski one day. And so, but that's something that, it's not what we need now. It's not something that God really has said, hey, this is going to be of use to you, you know, or what you need. And something that I'm really trying to do is really lean into what God has called us to do, which is go into ministry. So one of the things that, like I said, evaluate the time. When we look at verse 12, it says, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. It's such a promise that we can hold to. See, I've met people that have, you know, live in an apartment, don't have a lot of things, and they're happy as can be. They love their life. And I've met people with huge amounts of wealth who are miserable all the time. And it's all about where are your priorities? Where are the things that you have focused? Where have you stored up your treasure? So it's not saying that you're going to be blessed in this life. So you could have your priorities, your time set. This is where it's all focused on God. This is what I'm going to do. But then you could still, God might just have you be poor and live on the street. And there's nothing, God, that's what God's called you to go do that. Or maybe God will bless you in this life in another way. But in all these scenes, we store up, if you store up your treasures in heaven and your priorities are focused on God and where God has called you, then in the end, you'll have an eternal gratefulness. You'll be eternally with him. And that's where our blessing and our praises are. The issue is, once again, like I said, that instant gratification. We have to make sure we do not miss that. And when we follow what God has taught us and expects to do with these gifts, he'll reward us and make it protected. All things belong to God. All things are meant to bring him glory and honor in these things. And one of the things is that you really ask yourself the question of, where is your time and where is your money? Being a good steward is one of the best things you can do. Like I've always said, if you can't help people unless you help yourself every once in a while, you have to make sure you are healthy, that you are being able to do this, and focusing on it. It's something to really evaluate on your life is, where are your priorities? Where is your time? Where does your money spend? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now to thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. Lord, the gifts that you pour upon us abundantly, the gifts that we do not deserve, the gifts that we do not earn, but Lord, that you freely give them out. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for your son and the price that he paid on that cross. Lord, we love you and thank you for this. We pray this in your name. Amen.